From the KTO Newsroom, I'm Pablo Peña with a local and statewide news update. Two more Alaskans with COVID-19 have died, according to state health officials. Both were staying at long-term care facilities in other states when they died in early May. Both deaths were recently reported to the state, according to a spokesperson for the State Department of Health and Social Services. Both had their Alaska residence in Juneau. One died in Washington State, the other was in New Jersey. The deaths raise the total number of Alaskans who the state has reported as having died with the disease to 14. Alaska's active case count hit a new high as 30 more people tested positive for COVID-19 yesterday, according to numbers from the State Department of Health and Social Services. The number of active cases is now at 303. Of the new cases, 20 are Alaska residents and 10 are non-residents, including another 5 seafood workers in Bristol Bay. Of the resident cases, 7 were in the Anchorage area, 4 in the Matsu borough, 3 in the Fairbanks North Star borough, 2 in the Kenai, and 2 in Juneau, as well as 1 in Sitka. The national practice is to report deaths in the official state of residence rather than the state people are in when they die. And around the country, the death of George Floyd and the toppling of statues of historical figures sparked the dialogue about race and colonization. KNBA's Trip Krause talked with various Alaska Native stakeholders about what statues of Cook, Seward, and Baranoff mean to them.
In Alaska, the names of settlers and explorers can be found everywhere. Roads, cities, buildings, and statues. All reminders of Alaska's colonization and the impact it had on the indigenous population.
Take them all down.
That's Yale Yeatson, Nicholas Kalanen, who is Tlingit and Anunga musician and artist working mostly out of Sitka, Alaska. He's talking specifically about the statues, but Glennon's art often speaks to the traumatic history that Alaska Native and other Indigenous people have to face every day. Before the coronavirus pandemic gripped the world, Glennon was working on a piece for an international festival of art called the Biennale in Sydney, Australia. Glennon's piece is called
titled Shadow on the Land, an Excavation and Bush Burial.
His piece is on Cockatoo Island in the Sydney Harbor. The perfect silhouette outline of a Captain Cook statue can be seen dug out of the earth. The exhibit looks like an excavation site, complete with roped-off areas and piles of dirt.
It's an archaeological dig of the shadow of the Captain Cook statue in Hyde Park in Sydney. Actually, I was just discussing this with my partner of how this project couldn't have fallen in a more charged time, I suppose.
In Alaska, Change.org petitions call for the removal of statues in at least 3 Alaska cities, including Glennon's hometown of Sitka. The land that became known as Sitka served as a base for the Russian-American company in the early days of Russian colonization. And since 1989, a life-size bronze statue of Alexander Baranov has sat in downtown. More than 1,000 people have signed a petition calling for its removal. A similar petition also calls for the removal of a statue of Captain James Cook in Anchorage. Cook's name can be found throughout town, a hotel, a regional Native corporation, tribal organizations, even the inlet that connects Alaska's largest city to sea and ocean going is named after Cook. The Dena'ina name for the area is Takatnu, or Big Water River, which you can also find around town, but not with the same frequency as Cook. Aaron Leggett, who's Dena'ina Athabascan, serves as president of the Native Village of Aklutna, which sits within the Anchorage municipality. Leggett also is a curator for Alaska history and culture at the Anchorage Museum and has researched a lot about Cook.
He was quite brilliant, a mariner. What he did is an accomplishment of human history. There's no way around that. And could somebody else have done it the way he did it? No. Did he have his own biases and arrogance? Absolutely.
In Resolution Park, a statue of Cook overlooks the inlet. The park is named after one of Cook's ships that he stayed on while it was moored in the inlet. Yet, Cook never technically set foot on the land that became known as Anchorage. He never left the boat.
But he doesn't really like this area, not compared to some of the other places that he had been. Cook stays on the ship the whole time. He sends a party from his ship, the two ships, the Resolution and the Discovery, to a tip of land on the Kenai Peninsula, today now known as Point Possession. and they go on land, they plant a flag, they bury a beer bottle full of British coins, and they claim it for the crown in name of the British Dominion or the British Empire. They have a little ceremony, and they take off.
Leggett acknowledges the problems that indigenous people have with Cook's legacy, but he doesn't think tearing down the statues would solve anything.
I'm less interested in taking down statues, and I'm more interested in getting funding to actually fund the place name project for the places that we've identified, the 26 or so locations across the municipality. That would be much more meaningful.
The place names project would provide signs in English in Denina for sites like the Inlet and Kinnick Arm.
Even if statue comes down, you've still got Cook Inlet. You've still got Cook Inlet Regional Incorporated. I mean, we're not going to change our names tomorrow, you know. Is that a conversation of 20 years from now or whatnot? Maybe, you know, but these things take time.
Leggett says it's important to have community dialogues about these pieces. Anchorage Mayor Ethan Berkowitz said during a city briefing that the future of the statue is under review, but declined to offer too many details about what that entails. In Alaska's capital seat of Juneau, a statue outside of the state legislature building depicts William H. Seward holding the Treaty of Cession, the 1867 agreement for the U.S. to purchase Alaska from Russia. It was installed just a few years ago as part of a privately funded project and created by a couple of Ketchikan artists. The Treaty of Cession is a point in history that's politically charged for Alaska Natives. In a letter to the editor published in the Juneau Empire, Sea Alaska Heritage Institute President Rosita Worrell says Seward embodied manifest destiny.
Both us as indigenous people from Southeast Alaska and also myself personally. But we have always scorned William Seward, and we've scorned him since the 1867 Treaty of Cession. We said, if you want to buy Alaska, then buy it from its rightful owners. We are the ones who own Alaska.
A Change.org petition requesting the removal of the statue originally addressed Juneau's mayor and city manager, but the state owns the property that the statue sits on, and so the petition has since been revised. Worrell says now is the time to have the conversation about what the statues mean.
If we're going to make those changes in our society that I think that most people are calling for, this is the time to do it. You know, I don't think we can close our eyes anymore. You know, I think it's time for a society as a whole to try to look at our society now and make those changes, make the changes that I know it's going to make a better world for all of us.
Worrell says they've taken some small steps in Juneau. They've renamed a downtown corner near the Walter Soboleff building to Heritage Square, and they'd like to have the name of Seward Street changed as well. In Anchorage, I'm Trip Kraus.
A Chilkat mask woven to document the coronavirus pandemic has been donated to Sea Alaska Heritage Institute in Juneau. Famed weaver Lily Hope created a similar mask as part of an online art competition in April. It took her 60 hours to weave the mask, which was later acquired by the Burke Museum in Seattle. The mask fits similar to those worn in public to protect people from contracting COVID-19, but it was woven using an intricate technique practiced by indigenous people living along the Northwest coast for hundreds of years. In an earlier interview, Hope explained her intent to create a lasting piece of art that reflects on tradition.
When the person goes out, if they are a carrier, they are essentially protecting their whole community from being sick. And that's foundational to the Tlingit, Haida, Tsimshian peoples. And really, like my aunt said it the best, that the mask serves to record that we took care of each other during this time.
Hope told the Institute she wanted to donate the mask to express gratitude for the organization's continued support of her art. The mask, called Chilkat Protector, was donated at a ceremony at Sea Alaska Heritage Institute, where Hope and weaver Ricky Tagaban also unveiled a commissioned Chilkat robe. And to curb the spread of COVID-19, the Alaska Department of Fish and Game has modified how moose hunters can acquire moose permits for Unit 23, which comprises the Northwest Arctic. Permits are available until July 15th. This is KTOO News.